When Dr. Varallo was here, it's interesting that Jim brought that up. I had some things to finish, but I think on the Monday night I said I was going to have to teach a series on it because the Spirit of God was dealing with me about it. And so I'm going to start teaching out of the book of Joshua. So you can go ahead and turn to Joshua chapter number 1. And we're going to, we're going to read. And so we'll just do that first. We'll read Joshua chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 1. She had us look at verses 5 through 9, but the pastor in me just got to run you into it. So Joshua 1:1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. How many know Joshua already knew that? Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise. He didn't know that. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Everybody say, everywhere my foot goes, God gives it to me. Amen. So this is God talking to Joshua, and this is also God talking to you. So if you were here during those services, you know that unction came through the prophet's office to tell you what is available for each and every one of you. Amen. And one of the things is that everywhere you go, everything that God has given you, you're going to put your foot on it and you're going to have it. Amen. And I wanted to tell you this before we get into it. Going to get a little preachy maybe. But I just need to tell you that God's not waiting. We're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you. See, a lot of times in the body of Christ, everybody, how many know it is God's power? And how many know God's got to do it? But the reason the first group couldn't go in wasn't because of God. Amen? Who was it because of? It was because of them. And we're going to get into that because now here's a whole new generation. Here's a whole new generation. And I believe that it's our turn as a generation, from the oldest person, no matter what generation you represent, to the youngest person in this church, that I'm telling you, our generations should be ready to inherit the promises of God. Whether the last generations got everything God had for them or not, we can't do anything about that. But we can do something about our generation. We can do something about the promises that God has for us. And he promised Joshua, and he's promising you, everywhere you put your foot, everywhere I tell you to go, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. But you got to put your foot on them. And you got to do it in the realm of the Spirit. For them, it was natural. For us, it's the realm of the Spirit. And we got to put our foot on it. You got to go get it. You see, God, how many of you know the children of Israel, the first group, they were delivered out of Egypt with a mighty hand. You remember what the Bible says? They came out with silver and gold. There was none. Egypt was the richest nation on planet because of Joseph, and they still had all that wealth. And yet the Bible says the Israelites spoiled them and took all that because God had saved it up from them for them through Joseph. It was really theirs. And God gave it to them, and then he did what? He healed all of them. How many of you are healed? By the stripes of Jesus. And he delivered them. How many of you are delivered? Amen. And then, listen, he had a promise for them to possess, but they couldn't get it. They didn't get it. And we're going to find out why. So here's the second group. Listen to me. Same God, same promise, same nationality or group of people. But what's got to change this time? There's some things that have got to change in order for them to possess. How many understand? God still has all the power he's ever had. The same God that divided the Red Sea, that divided the Jordan, that caused the death angel to pass over the children of Israel, that same God is your God. Amen? They walk across on dry ground. The first aquarium with sea life in it was the children of Israel. They walked over on dry ground. There was water here. That was, as a kid, I'd have had to try to put my hand through it. I had to try to catch one of them little fish or something. It just would have been too tempting. They walked across on dry ground. I mean, the miracles they saw. They're walking out with silver and gold. They've all been healed. Everything the Egyptians was wearing, now the Israelite ladies are in style. Okay? They get up, and then, you know, have you ever heard people say, well, you know, the water wasn't very high. They walked across, they were just walking. How a miracle it was the Egyptians drowned in thimble deep water. This trained army all drowned in thimble deep water. Please. But you know the account. They went in to spy out the land, and 10 came back with an evil report. So for 40 years, Joshua, the youth pastor, and Caleb, the children's minister, that's what I see them in my mind's eye, they're retraining until everybody dies off who said God brought them out to kill them and kill all their children, until they all died off. Now, 40 years later, they've been walking around. They've been wearing the same shoes and the same clothes. Everybody gets all excited about that. I don't know, ladies, I think it makes more for you, but I mean, how many of you be excited to wear the same shoes for 40 years? I mean, styles have come and gone. The same clothes, even though they were nice 40 years ago, wouldn't you be tired of them? I mean, why we always put, people put up with just enough when God is the God of more than enough. That was not the best time for them, but they're retraining them. Right? And so now Moses is dead. Everybody who wouldn't go in, everybody who said, God, you brought us out here to kill us, you're going to kill our children. Everybody from that generation's gone. And now Moses is gone. And Joshua and God are having a talk. And he said, Moses, my servant, he's dead. That generation, that failure is over. Now, I'm not saying in the church people have failed us in the past, but I'm just saying it's a new day. And it's not up to God, it's up to us to follow God so he can release his power in this day. Because, he's talking to Joshua, and he's telling him, I'm telling you, everywhere you put your sole of your foot, I'm going to give it to you. And he gives him a list in verse 4, verse 5 of chapter 1. There shall not be any man. Now he's declaring some things to him. There shall not be any man to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, the same God I was in Moses, I'm going to be to you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. Be strong and be of good courage, for under this people you'll divide an inheritance of the land. Y'all got an inheritance? Amen. Which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Did God swear unto us? All the promises of God are yes and amen. Hallelujah. Verse 7, be only strong and courageous, and be not that thou may observe to do according to all in the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that you may prosper. Ooh, anybody ready for some prosperity? Anybody ready for some success? Wherever you go, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then, what does this say? Then thou, or you, will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I'm here to tell you that God has success in mind. I'm here to tell you that God has your promised land in mind. I'm here to tell you the promises of God are ready for you, but we have to be like this second group instead of the first group. Listen, the walled cities had not changed. The giants had not changed. God's delivering power had not changed. The thing that was the variable was the people. The only variable that says whether they possess or don't possess is the people. And it is that way today. God's power has not changed. Is God able? Come on, is God able? Now let me ask you another question. Is God willing? Is he willing to do it for you? Amen. Has he done it for others? Yeah, I mean, there's promises, right? The word of God is full of promises. What keeps us out? It's what kept the children of Israel out. What puts us in? It's what the second batch did. I'm ready to go in. You ready to go in? Come on, y'all. We're getting up a load today, and we're going to go in. We're going to go in. We're going to take our promises. We're going to walk in the success that God has for us. But he told Joshua, and there are some keys. And so no one's going to be able to stand against us. Whatever God promised you, you can have it. But how do you get it? And so we're going to tear this apart, and we're going to look at this for a little while here on Sunday mornings. And the first thing I want to talk to you about is found in verse 8. And it's something that I think for me, this is where I started in my life. I don't know where you came from, but my mind was squirrely. I thought wrong. I don't know about you, but I used to be a heathen. Were you a heathen? And I grew up religiously taught instead of biblically taught. And so because I was religiously taught, I didn't know the things about God that I know today. And so I had to begin to work on the center part of me. Or I had to work on, not my cardia, but I had to begin to work on my soul. And I had to begin, your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And so here in Joshua, God is telling Joshua something. He said, you're going to have to teach the people. You're going to have to do this. You're going to have to teach the people to meditate in my word day and night. How long is meditating day and night? That'd be all the time. Should you ever take a time off for meditating the word of God? And so I want to give you some definitions of meditate. And so here they are. What does it mean to meditate? It means to think deeply on or carefully about something. It means to contemplate, think, consider, ponder, muse, reflect, deliberate. My favorite, remunerate. It means to chew the cud, brood. Mull something over. To engage in contemplation or reflection. To focus one's thoughts on, reflect on, ponder over. It means to plan or project in the mind. It means to dwell on anything in thought. To contemplate, to study, to turn or revolve any subject over in the mind. So we need, the Lord is telling Joshua and telling us, and he was telling the people, you've got to meditate the law or the word. And in other words, why was he telling them that? Because this is what happened. You've heard, we've talked about this a number of times, but Numbers 13:33. What really kept the children of Israel out? What really kept them out of the promises of God? It wasn't the walled cities. It wasn't the giants. It wasn't God. It says, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak. Are they still there 40 years later? Still there. What else did they see? They saw the walled cities. Were they still there? Were they still living in them? Yep. And we were in our own sights. We were what? In our own sights, and I know you know this, but stick with me, as a grasshopper. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not a bug. And it says, because they said, and we were in our own sights as grasshoppers. Listen to me. God got them out of Egypt, but he couldn't get Egypt out of them. And because he could not get Egypt or their mentality of being bricklayers and midwives and slaves, because he couldn't get it out of them, the amount of power he had, it didn't matter what was going on with God and the giants and the walled cities, the problem was the children of Israel. Because it said, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. How many of you know there's 12 spies that go in? Anybody know what a spy does? There was no account. Because they didn't go up and go, hey, my name is Mr. Whatsoever. I'm from over in Egypt. I've been there a while. Now we're coming in and we're going to take your land, Mr. Giant. How many of you know none of that happened? So they had no confrontation. They saw walled cities. They saw the giants. And what happened? God was calling them warriors able to take. But they began to think about themselves. We were in our own sight as a grasshopper. In other words, the giant was going to squish us like a bug. In other words, they were going back to Egypt. How do I know that Egypt was still in them? because the Bible says they longed for leeks and garlic. They were looking to go back. They wanted to eat what was familiar. They longed for Egypt because they were saying it would be better to go back being a captive, being a slave, being a brickmaker, and living under a hard taskmaster than trying to go in and be a warrior and possess what God is offering us. It's easier, and we're afraid that not only we're going to die, but our children. So we want to go back to at least where we can, even though our children aren't happy, even though our children aren't healthy. How do I know they weren't healthy? Everybody was sick. Everybody was poor. They'd rather go back to that because of how they see themselves. I am nothing but a brickmaker. I am not a fighter. And so they saw themselves a certain way. But see, this is about you and me. Who's telling you who you are? Who's telling you? Who are you listening to? Did mama tell you who you were? Does society tell you who you are, how you ought to think, how you ought to act, how you ought to feel? Who's telling you that? Where should we get that from? We should get that from our Father, from the Word of God. He tells you who you are. He tells you clearly who you are. And if you don't, and I, if we don't get that image, because see, they were meditating on it. How did they come up with a grasshopper? That's how the bulk of them, somebody said, you know what, I feel like a bug. I feel like one of them grasshoppers. Don't you? Don't you? Yeah, I do too. And then before long, all 10 spies had come back and they all decided they was a bunch of grasshoppers, and now they got to convince everybody else you're a bunch of grasshoppers. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, hey! What did they see themselves as? They see themselves as eating some bread. These people are nothing. They're bread for us. I don't know how they did it, but they saw themselves sitting down and eating bread. Two different visions. One pleased God, one displeased God. But because of the majority, aren't you glad the majority don't always rule? We'd be in a heap of load of trouble. Hallelujah. But the 10 of them talked the whole multitude into believing they weren't able. And so God said, I got to fix that. It's not my power. It's not the walled cities. It's not the giants. It's how you think. And so Joshua, you got to teach these people, and you got to make sure you're meditating on the right things. And so I want to look at that. In Proverbs 23:7, it says this, for a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Is it important what you think about yourself? Is it important? And you got to understand, all kinds of people are telling you what to think about you. You as a parent ought to be careful what you're telling your child that they are. You need to, your words are powerful. And you ought not let anybody talk to your child anyway except about the Word of God, tell them who they are. Amen. Who are you? You're who the Bible says you are. You're who the Word says you are, and that's what you got to think about yourself. Amen. As a man thinks in his heart, so as a man mutters, as a man ponders. You know, the devil is a master at trying to get you trapped in your past. He wants you to feel a certain way. You see, a lot of these people that are real confused today, the thing about where confusion comes from, it comes from a feeling. It comes from an outward appearance. It comes from somebody telling you who you say you are. It comes from watching a TV show. When you ought to look in the Word, especially the New Testament, for it to tell you who you are. It tells you you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Uh-oh, I'm about to say it. So listen to me. I don't care how anyone thinks they were born. When you were born again, you got changed. Listen to me. Everything changes when you're born again. Everything changes when you're born again. You know what? Well, I have a whole line of nuts in my family tree. Well, you've been delivered from the nuts. Amen? Everybody in my family has this history. Well, you got a new family. What are you thinking on? Come on. What are you thinking on? Who are they telling you you are? You've got to hear God. You've got to know the word of God. In other words, then you begin to meditate. What does it mean to meditate? As you think, as you ponder, as you like a cow, you know, you eat it and then it comes back up and you think about it again. You meditate. What are you pondering? Because I guarantee you, what you think about yourself, what you talk about, what you're acting on came from meditation. People, well, I just don't know how to meditate. How many of you, who's ever worried? Anybody ever worried? Do you know what it means to worry about something? Have you ever worried about anything? Then you know how to meditate. That's just the opposite direction. It's just the opposite direction. You're thinking on something. You're pondering something. You're turning something over and over in your mind. And we got to make sure that we're meditating the word of God. 1 Timothy 4:15. It says, meditate on these things, the things the Lord told him. When you meditate on these things, give yourself wholly to them that you're profiting. There it is, success. When you meditate on what God said, success comes. Your profiting may appear to all. God wants you to be successful. He told Joshua, you'll make your way successful and you'll have prosperity. What? One of those elements is making sure you're meditating, pondering, turning over the right things. Romans 12:1-2 says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, that be not conformed to this world. Again, there it is. What is the world telling you you are? Who does the world tell you? They're telling you how to think. The world's trying to tell you how to feel. The world's trying to tell you how to act. The world's trying to tell you what's right to do, what's wrong to do. You ought to feel this way about this. And where should we get our dictates from? Where should we get our feelings from? Our feelings should come from what the Lord says about us. Who are you? Who are you? Where are you from? Where are you from? What is your heritage? I'm from heaven. I don't know where you're from. Are you from heaven? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That is your first priority. That's where you're from. That's your heritage. No, that's your heritage. That's who you belong to. Pastor Mark, that's too simple. I know. There's two families on the earth. Just two. You're either in the family of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, or you're in the father of the devil. There's two fathers possible. So like it, lump it, if you're born again, you in my family. You don't look like me. Praise the Lord. This is a whole bunch of children who look all different shapes, sizes, colors. All that is all different. But we have one Father. Amen. Who you let tell you what you ought to think. When you meditate the word, it gives you your identity. When you meditate the word, it's your driver's license. In other words, that's your picture ID. Where are you getting your identification from? Where are you getting your identification from? How do you do it? You meditate. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye metamorphosized. Go through metamorpho, transformed by the renew, by the what? So we're going to get into that a little bit, but you got to renew your mind. You got to meditate the word of God and renew your mind that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. How many of you know there's not different kinds of will of God? These are adjectives to describe when someone transforms their mind, when they meditate the word of God, then you'll be able to prove what is God's good, perfect, and acceptable will for you. Amen. You're either in or you're out. Sorry. You're either in or you're out. Let's all get in. Amen. Make sure in every area. How do you get there? By meditating the word of God, by proving who you are in God. All right, so let's move on. There's some things I want you to see in the psalmist when it talks about meditation. Some things that will show you how to do it, show you what happens when you do it. So let's look at Psalms 1, verses 2 and 3. It says, but his delight is the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. How long is that? All the time. We're meditating all the time. We're thinking on, how many know you can think on God and think on his word all the time? Amen. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in season. His leaf will never wither, and whatever he does will prosper. How do you get to be like a tree planted by the water, bringing forth fruit, your leaf never withering, and whatever you're doing prospering? It starts by whoever's meditating in the Word of God. It's not automatic. Well, God, just make me like a tree. And he says, fine, meditate my word. And when you see yourself right, you'll be a tree of righteousness planted by the rivers of water, by a move of the Holy Ghost. And whenever drought comes, it won't affect you. And everything you do will prosper. How do you succeed in life? Is it up to God? It's not just up to God. How many know it's his power? He's able. He's willing. But he was able and willing the first batch of Israelites. But they couldn't go in because they meditated wrong. They saw themselves wrong. And yes, I am telling you, listen to me, that and that alone is what kept them out of the promised land. The giants didn't keep them out. The walled cities didn't keep them out. Their mindset kept them out. Their meditation kept them out. They meditated themselves into grasshoppers when really they were warriors and conquerors. What have you meditated yourself into? You see, a lot of sin doesn't just start out by blatant sin. It starts out by what you meditate on, what you want to feel like, what someone tells you you ought to feel like. You begin to meditate it. You begin to ponder it. Adultery doesn't happen when a man goes to Walmart. Adultery happens when a man has been pondering, I can find me somebody better than my wife. Or the opposite way. Stealing money from the company you work for doesn't happen by one day you go in, decide to take something. How many of you know that computer's not yours? They have plenty of them. It's just in storage. It's still not yours. Yeah, but they owe me. They don't owe you that. But you, what do? You meditate it. You think, they owe me. They're not going to pay me. God won't care. Sure he will. Well, don't get quiet on me there. Those pens and pencils aren't yours. They're not. When you go to a hotel room, those towels don't belong to you. Go to Walmart and buy your own. Why am I doing that? But it is how you see it. That's part of how you see yourself. It's owed to you. Let's move on. Hallelujah. You want to be a tree planted by the rivers of water? You got to meditate the word of God. Amen. Psalms 119, verse 15. I will meditate your precepts. I'm going to meditate your precepts. I have respect unto your ways. I meditate your precept. I respect your ways. Psalms 143, verses 3 through 5. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has smitten my life down to the ground. He has made me to dwell in darkness of those that have been long dead. I mean, this is sad. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. Have you ever felt like you're overwhelmed? My heart within me is desolate. Verse 5. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to remember the days of old. I'm going to start counting my blessings, and I'm going to name them one by one. I will meditate on your works. I muse on the works of your hand. I'm going to start thinking about you. I'm going to start thinking about your works. I'm going to think about your ability. I'm going to muse. I'm going to turn that over and over in my mind. I'm going to remember. How many of you know that meditating God, meditating his word, will change what you think and who you think you are? And then when that happens, it'll begin to change what you say, what you talk about yourself. How many know it's not cute? It really isn't cute to talk negative about you. Don't let anybody else do it, but don't you do it. Oh, I'm just stupid. No, you're not. I can't do anything. Quit saying that. I'm just a this, I'm just a that. Nobody likes me. Well, what is that? That comes from a meditation of the devil lying to you, trying to tell you something about you, and then you start agreeing with it because you see yourself that way. And then you start talking about it. And then when you start talking about it, even as a joke, how you know sometimes when people will say things in a joking way, you know what they're trying to do is they think you think that of them, and so they're going to say it first so you don't say it. Well, I know I'm ugly, or I know I'm fat, or I know I'm stupid, or I know I can't ever do anything. I mean, and you say it in a joking way because you want to say it before they say it about you. But they're not thinking nothing about you because they don't have time to think about you. People ain't walking around thinking about you. But we think they are. So you meditate something till you talk about something, and then what happens? You begin to do something. And then what happens? Then you become something. It starts with meditation. And it could be the devil lying to you. How do you switch life around? You start meditating on who God says you are. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am complete in Him. I am the head, not the tail. I am above, not beneath. I am more than a conqueror. You start seeing yourself that way. You get a picture of you winning every time in a t-shirt that says, I'm a winner. You see yourself, I always win. You see yourself that way. Then you'll start talking winning. You'll start talking how God causes you to overcome. And then you'll start acting like a winner. No more being, oh, woe is me. You'll be like, I always win. Ha, hang with me. I'm a winner. Hallelujah. Where does that come from? It comes from God. And then what? You start doing winning things, and then what? You become a winner. You win in everything because God has made you able. So this is mind over matter, Pastor. Oh, it has nothing to do with mind over matter. It has to do with thinking on who God says you are, and your mind will begin to switch, and you'll be transformed, and it'll be renewed, and everything begin to change. And so I will remember the days of old. I will meditate on all your works, and I will muse at the work of your hand. So we got to do that. So I want to get into this a little bit about how to deliberately start this. Can you all see that we have to meditate the Word of God? Y'all see we got to be transformed, right? Because when you got born again, your mind was still messed up. The children of Israel, God did all those mighty things, yet their mind was still messed up. They still saw themselves in Egypt, eating the things in Egypt, doing the things they did in Egypt, although the promises were out in front of them. I have watched people, I've been pastoring for a long time in my own life, and then watching people. How many of you know, if you don't constantly meditate the Word of God, there is something about your old nature, the old soul, the old way of thinking and doing things that always tries to creep back in. Right? And so we have to make sure this is not something we ever get to quit doing. This is something we need to do all the time. And so I want to remind you, I want to look at this in Isaiah 55, 7-8. I want to teach you how the Lord taught me how to begin this. And then, you know, we'll see how far we get today. Let's look at this, Isaiah 55, 7. We're talking about meditating, talking about renewing your mind. We're talking about not falling into the trap that the first group did and being ready like the second group so that we can possess our possessions. And it doesn't have as much to do. God's power is necessary. God's ability is necessary, but He's on go. Amen? It's not the giants, the devil can't keep you out. The walled city can't keep you out. Wherever you put your feet, God's going to give it to you. All the promises of God are yes and amen. So then I'm the one, you and I are the ones that have to change this. It says, so let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord. And he will have love, pity, and mercy for him, God will, and to our God, for he will multiply to him his abundant pardon. So it's talking about a wicked person, a heathen. It's talking about your mind and your thoughts, and we gotta get away from those thoughts. Because verse 8, now this is the verse you know. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. But verse 7 is what runs into it. We never look at verse 7. He's talking to someone who is away from God, and he's talking to a backslidden person or someone who's not currently thinking like God. And he said, I want you to return. I want you to let go of your thoughts. I want you to let go of your ways, because your thoughts are not my thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. All right, so now let's pull this over into the new covenant. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Familiar scripture, but I want to show you how the Lord, you know, I want you to understand of something you have, and renewing your mind and meditating the Word of God. There's some effort on your part, but it starts here. But it is written, eyes not seen nor ear heard, neither it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for him that love him. Verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So the Holy Ghost is revealing things by his Spirit. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? So a man knows the things of humanity. So if you're just a human without God, all you can ever know is carnal things. That's what it's saying. The only thing you can know is carnality. The only thing you can know is natural. Even so, the things of God knows no man but by the Spirit of God. If you want to know the things of God, you can't know them in a human way. The only way you can know the things, the thoughts, and the ways of God is by the Spirit of God. Are y'all with me so far? Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Okay, so it says quit being carnal. Quit being natural. Quit being earthy. You're not from there anymore. That's not who you are anymore. You and I used to have our conversation in the lust of our flesh. Our nature identified with the earth. We were almost animal-like. Well, not me, Pastor Mark. Yes, you were. You did what you wanted. You thought what you wanted. You said what you wanted. Animal-like. But we've not received not the spirit of the world. We don't have that anymore. But, everybody say but. The Spirit which is of God, that we might know. What? You got the Spirit of God in you now. You got the Spirit of God in you? And what happens? You can know. What can you know? The things, the thoughts of God, the ways of God that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13. Which things we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom teach us. Don't talk natural, don't talk earthy, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. Verse 14. But the natural man, here it says it again, the earthy man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. The reason the first group couldn't go in is because they were acting earthy. They were just looking in their own selves. They had meditated themselves into grasshoppers. The second group, God was telling them, you've got to meditate and think on yourself as conquerors. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness. In other words, because see, in the natural, the first group of the children of Israel, they were right. I have never conquered anyone. All I've ever done with my life is make bricks. I've never done anything big. All I've done is take care of Egyptian babies, cleaned houses, worked in the fields. That's all I've ever done. And now you're telling me to go knock down a wall and go get rid of giants and get this and live in a house that I never built? That's not even right. You're going to chase them out and give it to me? It's unreal. It's right. It's unreal. Their natural mind could not grasp a hold of what God had for them. What is it? Foolishness. He couldn't grab a hold of it. Why? Because it's spiritually discerned. What was different about Joshua and Caleb? Well, Joshua hung around in the glory. He knew the Spirit of God. Verse 15. But he that's spiritual judges all things, he himself is judged of no man. Verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? How many of you are born again? Where's the mind of the Lord at now? Well, it's in heaven. Well, no, it's in you. It's in you. Now, I want to tell you something, because this is what I believe the Lord taught me. If you'll start from here in the transformation process, it'll be easier. Because it won't be about you working something. It'll be about you receiving something. Who has known the mind of the Lord? My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Get away from the earthiness. Get away from natural wisdom, because that it'll just be foolishness to you. It's foolish to believe that God, your natural mind tells you it's foolish to believe that God could cure you of an incurable disease. It's foolish for you to believe that God could help you pay cash for a car. It's foolish for you to believe that God could restore your marriage because it's been too ugly. It's foolish for you to believe that a grown child who has stood in your face and said, he's your God, he's not mine, could ever come back and serve God. But that's not how you think. That's not who you are. Who has known the mind of the Lord? The mind of the Lord will tell you, you raise that child in the way that they'll go. I don't care how old they are. They're never going to depart. They have to come home. I don't care what she said or he said. Marriage is a covenant, and it's of me. And if you'll love each other like Christ loved the church, if you'll do that, I mean, then he can fix it. If you had a different mindset, if you saw it differently, if you saw it through God's eyes, if you saw yourself through God's eyes, if you know you can see yourself a certain way, that he may instruct him. But we have. Everybody say, I have. See, I'm not trying to get. No, Pastor, you got to renew your mind. No, you do have to renew your mind. But I don't believe this is renewal. I believe this is the place of starting. When you believe that the mind of Christ, the Spirit of God himself, the great teacher lives on the inside of you, and he's the one that is transforming you. He is the one. Now, I got a lot to get into, but it's going to have to be next week. About renewing your mind. But if you start from what you have and who you are, everybody say, I have the mind of Christ. He's given you a sound mind. Yeah, but my mind's crazy. Yeah, but that's natural. Who are you? I have the mind of Christ. Well, you say, well, yeah, but somebody says that, but then they act squirrely. Well, listen, if you talk long enough that you have the mind of Christ, you'll start listening to the mind of Christ on the inside of you, and it'll work its way up. And with what you do, other things that we're going to look at, it'll begin to renew your mind. It'll begin to transform. Because, yeah, eventually you want this thing to be the mind of Christ. Not your brain, your mind, your soul. But it starts with believing something on the inside. And I want everybody to say it real bold, real loud. I have the mind of Christ. See, I'm not thinking. I'm not meditating on who I used to be. I'm not a sinner. Well, Pastor Mark, I know you've sinned. Yeah, but I'm not a sinner. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am complete in him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? Who am I in him? And if you begin to meditate that, because the mind of Christ will allow you to meditate that. So that starts working in here. And then, because I want to get you to begin how to do this, I want to show you how to meditate, ponder, mutter, bring it up again, roll over, contemplate a scripture. So this is the scripture that I've been working on this week. Sometimes I would rather see people ponder a couple scriptures all day than read three chapters. I mean, do your Bible reading, that's good. But if all you're doing is reading, that's not renewing. If all you're doing is reading, that's a part of renewing, but that to meditate means to ponder. It means to renumerate, or whatever that word was. I can't think of it. It means, it's like a cow chewing his cud. It means to turn over again. So this is one I've been turning over that I wish everybody in the body of Christ would turn over right now. 1 John 4:20-21. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. So if I could get everybody in the body of Christ in the United States of America to meditate this scripture for a week, everything would change. Stand up, because we're going to do it right now. I'm going to show you how to meditate. So you watch me do it. And then you can pick it up. Some of you, there's different ways to do it. Pastor Rhonda would like for me to say that meditation is not where you do your little finger thing and go, that's not the meditation. And you don't need candles even. If you want candles, that's fine. They're distracting to me. You don't even have to have music. Doppo doesn't have to go home with you. But this is, watch me a minute, and then you can join in. So, Father, I thank you for your word. Your word says that if I love you, I prove it by loving those that I can see. And I thank you, Father, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. And, Father, when I think about your love, because I do, I love you. I love you. So when I think about your love, I think about how it's agape. I think about how it's unconditional. I think it's about that it's eternal. I think about how you loved me when I was altogether unlovely. I love you, God. I love you, God. Oh, yeah, I do remember that. And so when I'm meditating something, it might come up and I say, okay, yeah, this is an actual event, not proud of it. Yeah, I forgive that woman who was driving that car who about hit me in the side and then come up behind me acting like it's all my fault and honking her horn at me, I didn't act really good. I slammed on my brakes, but forgive me. I ask you to forgive me because the love of God is, that's just real as I can be. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. So I forgive her. I ask you to forgive me because I know she was wrong, but I ask you to forgive me, Lord. That's going on. And Father, I know that because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart, it doesn't please you when people talk mean and hateful about one another. They say they love you, but they can't love you. I love you, and help me to love all the brethren. Help me to love everyone. Help me to love everyone. Oh, I meditate on your love. Oh, it's so good. Thank you for your love towards me. Oh, your love saved me. I'm so grateful for your love. I'm so grateful for your love. It brought me out of hell. I thank you for your love. It brought me out of my backslidden condition. I love you, Father. Yeah, your word says that. Your word says that they'll know that we're your disciples because we love one another. And you just see how, and you don't have to say those things out loud, but what do? You take one, two scriptures, and even a key word out of it, and you turn it over. You just turn it over. You keep bringing it up. And you can do that all day while you're at a computer. You can do that while you're at lunch. You can do that while you're driving. I would do your Bible reading, but find a scripture. Get something. Shoot, I might even start sending you something. Think on these things. Roll it over. Like I know. Yeah. And so just roll it over. Just roll it over. What happened if every day you took one or two scriptures and rolled them over? And even if you did it just Monday through Friday, you just rolled it over. You just rolled it over. You just thought on it all day long. And it's become your habit. You could take a few giants, knock down a few walled cities, because you'll see yourself really different. It'll begin to change who you are. And do you see how when I'm just trying to be real in front of you. Can't believe I did that. If that was you, lady, and you're watching this, please forgive me. I forgive you. And so maybe I haven't yet. Have I? I'm working on it. Help. I'm just being real in front of you. Maybe I got to keep working it. I'm going to keep working it. Hallelujah. Lord, bless her. And so, but you don't understand? You start working it. What does it do? It made me deal with something. It causes me to see the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. It is. It causes me to act a certain way. And I guarantee you, when I meditated on that, and I'll be the real part. I did do something a little silly, but then the love of God did spring up in me while I was driving, and I changed my attitude. like it was, I was doing a little extra for you, but momentarily, that's not who I am. I don't act that way. That is not who I am. Besides hearing Pastor Rhonda in my ear, the Holy Ghost came up on the inside. That's not who I am. I don't act that way. Road rage is not a part of my life. Rage of any sort is not a part of my life. Because I love everybody. It begins to work in you. You see yourself as a person of love with the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And then whenever people start to throw some junk in your ear or you see something, the devil will try to get to pull you back to Egypt. The devil will try to pull you back to Egypt, you grasshopper. You're supposed to feel this way. It's supposed to invoke that emotion. You're supposed to say that. No, that's not what I'm supposed to do. I love. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I love those who despitefully use me. Because see, then other stuff that you've read over will start coming alongside of it and galvanize. It'll make it strong as you meditate. You'll be able to see yourself and you'll be just walking around, everybody else hating on one another, and you'll be walking around with love, and it'll draw people to you. It'll draw people to you. Amen. Went over a little bit today, but it was real good and it was worth it. Hallelujah. Amen.